And then you know what always gets stuck in my head?
What?
I like it when you call me Big Papa.
Wait, what's that from?
I don't know the whole song. That's all I know. Someone listening is going to be like, I know that song. Oh, I will look it up and see.
Thank you.
Oh, it's by the Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and it's, I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Ooh, not just like, love.
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player. I love it when you call me Big Papa. To the honeys getting money playing fellas like dummies. Yeah, but I only get the...
Words to live by, my friends.
That's right.
This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 70, unlike last time where I said the wrong one, this is episode 70, we're talking about the legacy of creativity.
Yes.
But before we hop into that, just want to say happy Mother's Day. And when this comes out, it will have already just passed. But we want to say Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
Well, and talking about creativity as legacy is a way to honor moms in a way. Because yes. I think that creative legacy happens in the female relationships in my family. For the most part, we believe men are creative, obviously.
Yes.
But historically, women's work has been more creative. More the... crafty things.
Sure. And if you want to get really technical, the basics of motherhood require you to be somewhat creative. You have to create life.
Oh.
There you go.
That's right. But I know some people will be like, oh, my grandpa made my dining table.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that that exists too.
Yes.
I need to do my sour first right now.
Okay. All right. Hit us with it.
My sour is that Pip has fleas.
Oh, no. How do you think it happened?
I'm a bad mom.
No, that's not.
In a dirty house, in a yard that I don't take care of. And it just got the fleas.
Okay, I'm going to refute these one by one. First of all, we had someone come in and give us a compliment about how well Pip is doing in her training. Two, you recently got your backyard redone. So yeah. It is... a yard that is being taken care of. I can't remember what the middle one was.
I'm a bad mom.
Oh, no. That
with a dirty house.
Oh, dirty house. I haven't seen your house recently, so I can't speak to that, but it's probably not so dirty that it has fleas all over it.
Yeah. I think it is that my dad was just here. That's my sweet. So, I mean, I'm just doing my sweet and sour at the beginning of the episode.
Just couldn't wait.
I am all combobulated. No, only discombobulated. Is combobulated a word?
Probably not. It's probably like overwhelmed.
Let me just tell you,
whelmed.
This is not boding well for how this episode is going to go.
Oh, no.
I've already derailed us.
I am here for this roller coaster ride. I hope y'all are too. Strap in.
So my dad was here. He came for he was here less than 24 hours so that he could be my IKEA delivery driver and bring $1,500 worth of IKEA things.
That are now strewn all over our studio.
Yeah. Anyway, I was telling him last night that I feel like every area of my life is just all discombobulated. There's no combobulation in any area of my life. And maybe because I've been gone, which I was gone 2 weekends. I was gone like a weekend. I was only in the studio 3 days and then gone the other weekend.
Yep.
It felt like really good rest. That's good. However, everything now feels like it has just slipped out of my control. My weeds, because we've had so much rain.
Yes.
Some of them are like almost as tall as me. I have the ones that look like corn.
Oh. I know. This rain is just making all kinds of yard work.
I still have. When did I paint my ceiling? It's been over a month.
Yeah.
I still haven't put the air vent covers back on.
Oh, no.
Or the outlet covers are still all off. Honestly, some of the outlet covers in my house that are to light switches have been off for like a year and a half. And I've been in my house 2 years. So, and anyway, and my dog has fleas. It just feels like a whole nother thing that I can't combobulate. So
it's a lot of stuff to get in order for sure.
It just feels I haven't worked out in 2 weeks. Like every single aspect of my life. Yesterday, I spent all day trying to figure out how to change the size of the time on our website for events.
In her defense, the font was rather huge.
It has to be changed.
Like the date is like normal sized, and then the time is huge.
If you were on mobile, it would take up the whole screen.
Yep, it's true.
Unacceptable.
So you're working on that all day.
Yeah, but you know what I really want to do is just build IKEA furniture.
Which we did do a little bit of that yesterday.
We did.
I have a shelf in my office.
You're gonna have two.
I'm so ready. Get things up off that floor.
So, but mostly, anyway, I needed to share my sour at the beginning because all I could think about is that Pip has fleas. And she just looks so sad, doesn't she?
I mean, she normally has that look on her face, but knowing she has fleas, it does look more sad.
I know.
Like, it makes it just adds an extra layer.
Yeah.
But she's sleeping right now, so I think she's okay. Oh.
The FedEx truck is driving by, so she's checking that out.
I mean, I would, too. I like it when the FedEx man comes to visit.
Oh, really?
Sometimes it... Oh, help us all. It's just usually around here, it means fabric.
That's true.
Yes.
Most of our fabric does come from FedEx.
Yes.
That is true.
I dig that.
So, I guess when we're done, I will... take care of her.
There you go. Yes. You just got to give yourself time for it and wait for that appropriate time.
But anyway, happy Mother's Day to all you mamas.
Who make sure your kids don't have fleas.
If your kids do have fleas or lice.
Yeah.
I guess that's the equivalent of the human flea.
Yeah.
It's okay. It doesn't mean that you're a bad mom or your house is dirty or your yard isn't taken care of. I mean, all those things might be true, but it doesn't have to be.
Not correlated.
Right.
If you will. But yeah, happy Mother's Day, and a special happy Mother's Day to our moms.
To my Mooley.
Yes.
And what do you call your mom?
I just call my mom.
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah. Just see. I mean, I think you're in the minority there. I think most people call their mom.
Well, but some people will call their mom mama or...
Yeah.
I don't never call Mooley mom.
It's true. I mean, well, everyone who knows you calls her Mooley.
Right. And before I call her mommy still. Yes. Mooley seems a little bit more age appropriate somehow than mommy. But I will either call her mommy or Mooley.
I call my mother-in-law. She's in my phone as Mama Hale.
There you
go. Which I like.
Yeah. My sister is calling herself mama to her.
That's right. Yeah.
Baby. And what did you call your grandmas?
Grandma and Nana.
Okay.
And then when I had a great grandma, it was grandmother.
Okay. I had a nan or a nanny and a great grandma, and her name was Mama.
Nice. Oh, my husband, he calls his grandmother something kind of
different.
Maybe it is nanny, or I can't remember. He does have a nan.
Okay.
Just straight up nan. And then I don't know what the other one was. We just talked about her the other day. Oh, Grandy.
Grandy.
That's
interesting.
What it is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I think grandma names kind of have trends too, right?
For sure.
Like, well, Gigi was a trend for
a
while.
Oh, I'm sure it still is.
There is if I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes, the description.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a Southern parody.
Yes, I know exactly.
Channel like on YouTube.
Yes.
And they do one about what their grandma name, like buying jewelry as their grandma name or something.
Yeah, they're like picking it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal here in the South to pick out your grandma name.
I'll look for it, and if I can find it, I will put a link.
So I'm a little curious, should the opportunity ever arise or in your wildest imagination, what would your grandma name be?
I don't know. Joe.
Just everyone's just going to call you Joe. Like, what? Or, like, will Molly call you Aunt Joe?
Uh-uh.
Or it's just Joe?
Just call me Joe.
Just
unless she comes up with a name for me.
Yeah.
But.
You know what would be really easy to say would be JoJo, which I know you
hate
that. I know you hate that. But
yeah. So that's a no. Jess, my sister, whenever I call, she will say, look, Molly, it's your Joe. So she calls me like your Joe. Mm-hmm. So that might be something.
Kind of like Joe is a title.
Yeah, but Molly might call me my Joe. I don't know. Here's the thing. Okay, again, let me just derail us. What are we talking about today? All of, like, my sister's good friends, they all are Aunt so-and-so.
Ah, okay.
But, so really, Aunt loses its meaning for the familial aspect. Like, no, this is my real aunt. This is my fake aunt.
Hey, I don't know. Yeah, I've heard kids talk about it where it's like, oh, yeah, this is my cousin. Not really my cousin, but, you know, we're close.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, don't want to be lumped in with just the friend aunts. I'm a real aunt. So we're not going with aunt since they're already using that in other ways.
You're a Joe.
Yeah. So anyway, it just makes me be like, but I'm the real aunt. So I'll just let her figure out what she wants to call me. Nice. Okay, what brought about this idea?
Okay, so I got a call while I was up at the studio and someone wanted to drop by a lot of patterns, like sewing patterns for clothes and stuff. Normally we don't take donations like that. Well, as in I told her, Make Do doesn't take donations like that, but Madison as a person will take those donations. So I said, bring them by.
Because it was vintage patterns?
Yes, it was. A lot of it is from like the 1970s, but there was like a few like 60s, you know, early 60s in there. I was like, yeah, I'll go ahead and take them. She brought them in and all of the kids got all sorts of excited and they wanted to go through the patterns and take some home. And it just got me thinking about how we pass on our, you know, our creative arts. Mm-hmm. Down through families, whether it be through recipes or patterns, tools, implements, whatever. And I just started thinking about how I have benefited from so many people passing on and leaving behind all of their like materials and to some extent some of their creative works. Like I have two wedding dresses, one of my nana's and one of my grandmother's, my great-grandmother, that she made. And so it just made me start to think about what does a legacy of creativity look like? How do people benefit from it? And what is it going to look like when I start to pass on or like when I die and all of my, where is my stuff going to go? What happens to it? What happens to all of my unfinished projects? Mm. Will anyone care?
So some of this may overlap with the conversation we had in episode 57 that was about trash or treasure, where we talked at length about people, the trend now of people taking quilts and turning them into coats, jackets. Yes. So we talked about that. So some of that plays into this as well. Like what you're asking is what is your responsibility to the creative work of the people who came before you.
Yes. And also how will that inform how I approach my own creative legacy?
Right.
Yeah. So
I think I already said this a little bit. Well, now I can't remember what I said because I've said so many things that are not related at all to anything. From the beginning though, with Make Do, I've always talked about how creativity is an avenue for legacy. Like it leaves a legacy. And so a couple ways that we see that play out here is one, all of our sewing machines have names on them. They're named. That's how we know who's who. And our table looms have names on them as well. And so the way we got those names is the people, whoever sponsored the purchasing of the sewing machine, then got to name it. Most people, 9 out of 10 people named it after someone, their mom, their grandma, someone they knew who sewed or just who was a creative influence in their life. So most of the machines are named after in honor of a creative legacy.
They're all such cute names too, like Florine and Vera Viola.
Florine, that's interesting. That's so funny you said that. Florine was my mama, and Vera Viola was mama.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. See? So we've got a few in here. There's a sewing machine here that's named Mabel, and that was grandmother. Uh-huh. So, yeah. Got some creative legacy of our own happening here in the studio.
One of our sewing machines is Irish.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Because she was named for a friend of mine in Ireland for her mother.
Oh, do
Gladys.
You? Well, yes, Gladys.
Another thing, I forgot what the second way I was going to say that we experience the legacy.
Are there people that come in? Like, because we've had some people call up and ask about, hey, can I learn how to sew because, you know, my grandmother sewed and I don't know how?
Oh, or I don't know that anyone, that I've had a conversation where anyone called and said that. However, one of Make Do's top fans, also a board member, and she, like, takes the most classes of anyone every year. She came and should have invited her to talk about this with us.
Oh, man.
Anyway, she came and took a sewing class, and at the end of it was talking about the impact that it had on her and her memory of her mom who sewed. And then towards the end of her mom's life, I think her mom had dementia or Alzheimer's or something. And so the last few years, her mom wasn't herself, you know, but that sewing kind of was connecting her back to the mom as she remembered her, like in a way she wanted to remember her, you know?
Yes.
Similarly, like I didn't learn to sew till I was 25. My mama had already died at that point, but she had a sewing machine out. She always was sewing on stuff from what I could remember, like little things, stockings or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, did she make your denim stockings?
Yes.
Yes.
And so as I was learning to sew, I just would always, it would kind of pop in my head, I wonder if mama would be proud of me, or like,
yeah,
you know, what she would think that I love to sew now.
One of our classes was inspired by a little boy who his grandmother was his person, his special person, and she passed away. And part of his mom asked, as part of like his grieving process, is there a way that you could teach my son how to use his grandmother's sewing machine? Yeah. And so we started this sewing machine 101 class where people could bring in their own machines and learn, which is really useful because a lot of these older machines still run quite well. So again, there's that legacy coming up again of these passing on of things so that you can continue to be creative on something that someone that you cared about was creative on,
yeah,
or with.
Okay. One thing that you were talking about is you have benefited a lot from this legacy, right?
Oh, my word. Fabric, patterns. The sewing machine I own, I didn't buy. It was my other great-grandmother's sewing machine. Half of my stuff comes from not just my family, but other people who are aware of what I do. And they're just like, oh, that would be a perfect person to give X, Y, and Z to.
I think it bodes well for you because that's your aesthetic. And that's your style.
Yes. Now, I would say that like some of the stuff that I'm given could be pretty modern and things like that. But for the most part, yeah, it does fit in.
Because one of the challenges, I think, in feeling like you are honoring someone well is when the things that they are passing on are not your style.
I automatically think of some cross stitch or some embroidery because that was really popular like in the 80s, that people pass on. And some of it, it's like, you know, it's got like the 80s country colors that are all like dusty and not kind of pale, you know, not really my vibe. And some people feel like they have to hang on to stuff like that. Like, oh, this was so-and-so's special ladle and she loved this ladle. So I need to, you know, she used it in all of her favorite soups, and so I have to hold on to it, or I've got to hold on to this embroidery piece or this piece of clothing, whatever.
So do you have thoughts on that?
I tended to hoard a lot of those things because I thought that's how I was supposed to be honoring their legacy. But I was having a conversation with our favorite volunteer, Nancy, and she was talking to another person who's cleaning out their house. She was just holding on to a lot of things. And I said, oh, I do that too. And she said, well, I told my friend, or I asked my friend, if they were here right now, is that something that they would want you to hold on to? Or would they look down and be like, why are you still holding on to that? You know, I did that because I was going through a rough time and I just needed something to do.
Or I did that because I was bored. I just wanted something to do.
Yes. Or like, you know, I did that because, whatever. And it kind of has given me a new perspective on there might be other ways to honor a person's creativity other than just hoarding on to all of their stuff.
Right.
Because sometimes we connect, a lot of times we connect the person with their things, and that can really clutter up our lives.
Yes, especially when it doesn't fit our style.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so you feel guilty. Other things, do you have some ideas?
On,
you said that there's other ways we can honor
someone. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take pictures. You know, we have hard drives now where if you feel like, oh, I really want to show my kids this piece, but I don't want to leave it in this house, take pictures and put it in, you know, some file somewhere so that when you want to show your kids the things that their nanny made, you can flip open that file and be like, look, they made this, 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 and this.
Yeah, this is funny. Okay, I just brought home from my parents the Christmas tree lights and like the star that used to be on the top of our Christmas tree from when I was little.
Yeah.
So Mooli had put all of that in a bag for me. Sitting on top of the bag is a cross-stitched framed like little piece that has flowers all around it. And then it has my birthday and something about like a baby being born. Oh. And it has my name and my birthday. Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever seeing this before. Ever.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it wasn't out.
Sure.
But it's not like it holds some nostalgia or sweet memory for me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why did Mooli give this to me?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm just going to throw it away. And then I thought, well, can I throw it away? Who made it? Where did it come? I don't know anything about it. I have no memory of it. Where am I going to put it? In my guest bathroom? Like, weird.
Oh, so it's not even, I was imagining like a Christmas ornament because you know.
No, it's framed.
Just, yeah, I think when you reach a certain age, maybe your birth announcement shouldn't be like put up in your house somewhere.
So anyway, it's just one of those little things like you're talking about.
Yeah, where it's like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, you just find a random box of, I can't imagine if people are going through my random box of half finished projects.
Oh yeah.
Like get rid of them. I never finished them.
Yeah. I think about like, if I died tomorrow, what would happen to most of my stuff? I don't know because there's not a lot of people that dig or that I'm aware of in the place that I live that would dig what I like.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just hope that whoever gets a hold of my stuff takes what they want and then donates the rest of it to a Goodwill for some other thrifty person to find and maybe enjoy. So
doesn't it kind of make you want to like put a note in all of your stuff? Like, hey, if you find this at a Goodwill and you love it, I love that for you.
Yeah. So I've started my Christmas gift. I can't remember if it was this year or last year. My sister gave me a bunch of labels that have my name on it and it says modern.
Oh my gosh, how rude. That is my dad.
Oh,
let
no.
me just see what he needs. Hang on. Hi, Daddy. Okay.
Okay.
Where were we?
Let me
put my phone on silent.
Oh, yeah. It seems like
the kind of day that people might just keep calling.
It's a discombobulating kind of day.
Yeah, there's no combobulation today.
There's actually, I got some handmade label or some labels that have my name and it says modern made vintage on it. And I've begun sewing them into all of my clothes or the clothes that I make so that should anyone ever get a hold of it, there's like a little piece of me that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I used to, when I was in college, whenever I would mend something for someone, I don't why I did this. I have no idea. I would stitch my initials somewhere in the clothes where no one would see. But, like, I don't know. That just seems weird now. Like, small acts of vandalism on someone else's stuff.
Right. Or, like, because if you got a tattoo
and they, like,
if your artist
something?
Was always hiding stuff in the tattoo, that'd be weird.
I wonder if there might be artists that do that.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Anyways, so hopefully that would be assigned to people in a thrift store should they find my things that, like, oh, someone lovingly made this.
Yeah. Here is a way I recently... Okay, so my house was built in 1948. I think a lot of it had, like, never been changed. There's still some really original stuff about it, you know?
Oh, cool.
And well, I've been changing things.
Well, yeah, but and like the bones of the house.
Yeah,
looks great.
And I think we talked about that in our Trash or Treasure episode. But when I took out, when I opened up a wall, there was wallpaper underneath the drywall that had been put up. So like, my house is shiplap, and then there was wallpaper on top of the shiplap, and then drywall just got put up on top of the wallpaper.
I mean, why bother taking it down?
Yeah. So I took a little piece and framed it.
I didn't know this.
And so then I have that just in my house. Oh. It's not like cool. I mean, it's kind of like a grass cloth.
Okay.
And has a few different colors in it, but it's not like some funky over the top floral or something. But it just is my way of honoring the people who built the house and the home that it was before for someone else, you know?
I think my mom is a master at stuff like that, of incorporating things into her style. So she has an old black and white photo, I think of the, and she'll correct me if I'm wrong, my great-grandmother that gave me the sewing machine. Up in a bedroom somewhere. And it just looks like a fun old-timey photo, but it's actually of our, you know, our great-grandparents. And there's a few other things too, like she'll take old doilies and she'll like frame them, or she finds ways to reuse some of these things into interesting art pieces that she puts on the wall.
Yeah.
Or she'll use stuff to like decorate the tops of her cabinets, like different little antiques and things like that. And it's just like old, really cool looking tobacco cans. Like she's like, oh yeah, my grandfather would like, you know, use these.
It's very interesting. What can be the challenge is that you feel like you need to hang on to everything. And maybe this is what you were starting to touch on before. Yeah. When really, if you can just find a few things and find a way to actually use them, then that is keeping that person present in your home all the time.
Yes.
You don't need all the stuff.
Yes. I think we struggle with this problem because just a few generations separated from us, they didn't have much of anything. So they held on to a lot. And so we feel that obligation to continue to hold on to those things.
I kind of have the opposite problem. I get rid of everything. I'm like, please let me get rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I donate? What else can I get rid of?
Yes.
And so sometimes in my own life, I've thrown things away and I think, wait a minute, would I want that later?
I mean, my mom has mentioned before, man, I wish I had X, Y, and Z back. I wish I had that sweater vest back. Stuff comes right back around. But the thing is that if you didn't love it enough to keep it then, you know, then it was okay that you let it go.
Right. And you find something else. It leaves room to find something else that you love. Like I just found my, when I was a senior in high school, we had to make a scrapbook. It was for English class. So everyone had to make one. And I just found mine. We'll talk about it next week because something in that has spurred an episode. But even now I'm going, okay, I look through it.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. But I don't want it.
Yeah, so a lot of those things tend to be more for parents who want to enjoy and have like little keepsakes. But even for parents, y'all probably understand this. Your kids come home with a piece of artwork. How many pieces of artwork can you keep in your house? Yeah,
we had some parents from Itty Bitty Book Club, a parent, you know, you put the coloring sheets out for them to color. She came back in to get her kids coloring sheets that they hadn't even finished. And she said, I just can't. I keep everything.
And for more power to that person, if she's got room for that.
It stresses me out.
How wonderful. But you can't keep everything.
No.
Like,
and when you do, when you let everything come in, it makes it a lot harder to then actually have the energy to go through it and get rid of it.
Yeah, you think it would give you a lot more choice of, I'm just going to take the best. No, it doesn't. It just means that you have to spend 5 hours going through all sorts of journals and portfolios.
Yeah, or like if I don't stay on top of my pictures on my phone, because we take so many pictures for classes, right? And I'll have 12 pictures of the exact same thing almost.
Yes.
And it can take forever to go through them. And then I will just be like, well, I don't need any of these pictures. Then when we have a birthday party and I'm looking for pictures, I have deleted them all.
Yeah. And that's when I come in as someone who has never deleted any of her make-do pictures off of her phone and probably needs to find a better place for that. Hey. When I was like, here's all of the pictures that I have.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about finding ways to honor the legacy.
Yes. So let's see. Oh yeah. Take pictures. Oh, giving it to someone else who needs it or wants it.
Mm.
This is not a creative item, but I was recently given a fox fur.
Ooh.
Sounds fancy, right? It has a face on it.
Oh, the fox face?
The fox face.
And it has the tail?
It's got the tail. It's got glass eyes and paws.
Oh, yeah.
This thing looks crazy. But I did some research on it, and I just went down this whole rabbit hole that I thoroughly enjoyed. I need to take it to a furrier. Its little paw is falling off. I need to get it reattached. Anyways, it was someone's grandmother's. They loved it, like the grandmother did.
Uh-huh.
But this person's like, I'm not going to wear it. No, who wants a fox fur with glass eyes? Well, let me tell you, it's me.
You're I do. But this person knew you would be the one.
Exactly. So part of her grandmother's legacy is continued, or at least enjoyed, because I have a little bit of the story and I am continuing to care for something that this grandmother cared for.
Do you feel an obligation now to keep that thing forever?
Not forever, okay. Because I am fully aware that that's the cool thing about being me, is that I know that a lot of the things that I like, no one else will. And so I have the understanding that it ain't going to last forever and it's probably going to end up, you know, either in someone's dress-up box or it's going to end up in a landfill.
Yeah.
And I've made peace with that.
Yeah.
Part of my creative journey has been understanding that the things that I create are for the benefit of the people that I give them to and for myself. And anything beyond that, children, grandchildren, or anyone outside of that circle, is just a cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't expect future generations to have a trunk full of all of the things that I've made.
Right.
Well,
you want them to fill trunks with the things that they're making.
Exactly. And the things that they love.
Right.
And part of that is also kind of coming to terms with my own mortality,
mm-hmm.
and understanding that I'm not going to last forever. So it's interesting how creativity has allowed me to explore some of those darker and scarier things about life.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
You thought you were getting a getting a light episode. Surprise.
Pip has fleas. We're all going to die. I have for a long time thought my grandma made this, but I don't think she did. So she had nicknames for all of us. And her nickname for me was Ladybug. I think that she liked ladybugs before I came along, and then it was just something she kind of collected for me. And anyway, she had hanging in their house an ink drawing of a blade of grass that goes straight up, and then there's a blade of grass going over to the side, and then there's this little ladybug drawn on it.
Aww.
It's on the grass.
Yeah.
And the ladybug is in color, but everything else is just like the line drawing.
Okay.
And so I have that.
I've seen it. Is it on your credenza?
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute.
Yeah. So because that felt very, it was at her house. It was what she called, you know, she called me Ladybug.
Mm-hmm.
It is very modern in the sense that
it's minimalistic. Yeah.
Yes. And so that was like a perfect thing for me to keep of hers.
Aw. Yeah. It's again, finding the thing that means a lot to you and figuring out ways to incorporate it in either into your house or into your life.
Mm-hmm.
A really easy way to continue on a creative legacy is to, like we've talked about before, to get yourself into the process of whatever someone's doing. So learn or did.
Mm-hmm.
There in Richard's family, Nan has a secret recipe that she gives out to no one.
Okay. A secret recipe for what?
Pepperoni buns is what they're called.
Okay.
And it's actually, they were invented in West Virginia where Richard's grandmother lives.
Okay.
Very regional dish. But she doesn't give it out because she wants everyone to come to her for it.
Uh-huh.
And it's the thing that she gives back. But she doesn't have a recipe written down. She just knows it by heart.
Uh-huh.
But when she leaves, we won't be able to continue to participate in that.
Yeah.
Which makes me really sad.
Yeah.
So I think recipes are a really easy way.
Well, she'll have to, like, on her deathbed, pass it on.
She needs to whisper it to somebody. Uh-huh. Yeah, who knows? But recipes are a really easy way to continue the legacy of someone, making something like so-and-so made.
Mm-hmm.
Or like we talked about, when people come in the studio and they want to quilt like their grandmothers mm-hmm. did. That's an excellent way to hold on to a creative legacy without filling up your house.
Mm-hmm. To try what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of the traditions that we do them because they remind us of people that came before.
Well, and a lot of this is why creativity is such a brilliant, like, conduit for legacy, is because typically, historically, these skills were passed down generation to generation, yes. right? So you learned to crochet from your grandma,
mm-hmm.
and you sat next to her and learned that activity together and then kept doing it. And so whatever the person was good at, mm-hmm. it just kind of stayed in the family too.
I have sweet memories of my Nana teaching me how to trace a pattern on newspaper mm. and make little dresses for my baby dolls. Mm. Or my dad showing me how to tie knots for like friendship bracelets and things that. And those are really special. So even though I don't have those baby dolls or those bracelets anymore, those are how I'm continuing that legacy, is I hold them in my memories.
Right. I have a core memory with Mooli when I was little. I couldn't tell you how old I was, but I do know we were living in like our first house. So I was, and I don't know if Jess was born yet. So I was anywhere between 2 and 3, I don't know. My dad was gone for a long time, several weeks. And so we made numbers and colored them. Like, she drew big bubble numbers mm-hmm. and we colored them in. And then she got them laminated and we punched holes in them and put them on rings. And every night we would flip it over to be the next number, like to count down until my dad would come home.
Oh.
And so I remember sitting at our little Fisher Price play table.
Oh, yes.
Watching her cut it out around it being laminated. And I remember, you know, she wasn't cutting right to the edge. Like, I remember watching her cut it away from the edge, but we had colored it together. And then when she put them all together, she did it backwards. So, and I remember thinking, that's not how the numbers go.
Mm-hmm.
So I was old enough to know that, but that long story to say that the creative memories that you're making with your kids don't have to be, oh, here is the blanket my mom made.
Yes.
Or here's, you know, it doesn't have to be anything big
or something that you put in a box later on.
No. I just have that memory of coloring those things and putting that together with her, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people have memories of building things with their dads or moms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shoot, we just made a memory yesterday of building a shelf together, you and I.
We're building a lot together, Madison.
Yes.
Look at this podcast we're building.
Yes, exactly. There's so many creative activities that go just beyond the physical or what you might consider to be strictly creative.
Yeah.
That people pass on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any more thoughts? I didn't prepare very well this episode. I was, my brain was distracted.
So I was thinking about, does any of that change the way that I perceive things as a creator myself? And so it allows me to step into the shoes of people that came before me and think about my projects or think about their projects in the way that I think about mine. Like I had mentioned before, oh, I did that because I was bored, or I did that because I was working through some things. And it allows me to either get rid of, keep, or alter whatever I come across that, you know, a relative has given me. And it gives me more freedom to like, oh, this was just a skirt that they made because they needed a skirt. Well, if I need to turn it into a throw pillow, I can.
Right.
I don't treat it like a holy relic anymore.
Right.
Because they were people just like us. Just because they passed on doesn't... There's some reverence to their memory, but not necessarily to the things that they owned.
Right.
And I've watched...
Especially at the losing of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, if to hold on to the memory of someone else means that you have to take them on...
Yes.
Then you're going to have to let go of part of who you are.
I have seen some families get really upset about things once someone has passed on. Mm. I need grandma's cake serving, whatever. And people fight over that.
Yeah.
And it's a little insulting because they kind of do it in the name of, well, I wanted to remember mom or dad this
way. Oh, gosh. Sometimes people are having those conversations before the person's even dead.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's very rude. And at that point, are you really considering their legacy and their memory, or are you just interested in the thing?
Right.
And we fool
ourselves. Even though if any of y'all who are listening want to get first dibs on Madison's style, if she were to pass.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I'll write you in somewhere for sure. I can give you my measurements and
yeah,
you can, you can have a trunk full of crazy floral dresses for sure.
Pour some wood. We need to knock on it. I know, right?
I want to look like Marilyn Monroe. I don't want to die young.
Right.
All right. Man, such a bright and sunny podcast today, right?
Well, you are wearing a bright and sunny cardigan, wrapped cardigan.
Yes, I am. That I made. What was I talking about? Yeah, so consider why you're keeping the thing. Is it really just for the thing, or is it... Or is it really because of the memory? Because people can get really hurtful about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I need so-and-so's knife. I need so-and-so's whatever.
And I guess you have to see if it's a pattern. Like, if you have a hard time letting go of things in general, of course it will be even harder to let go of the things of someone who's no longer here.
Yes.
Because there's...
Let me tell you, not everything is fit for a museum. Very few of the items that you have are going to be fit to be...
Well, I mean, that was... A lot of this we talk about in that episode we've mentioned, the Trash or Treasure one, of just the history of creativity in general and what is our role in that.
Yeah.
But it does get a lot more personal when you are then talking about the specific creative makes
again,
of the people that you love.
We just think so much of the things that they made and like, oh, we need to save it for posterity. That's why being a creator myself helps me to step into their shoes and like, whoa, they're a person like me, just a normal person. What do I want? And like, let go of everything else because it's probably not museum worthy.
Right.
So why bother keeping it? So those are my thoughts on that.
Okay. So do we have any tips? Do we have anything to make tips on?
Absolutely. So all of this to say, how do we healthily approach honoring a creative legacy?
Okay.
What are some healthy attitudes? And so the first thing I wrote was, take what is useful and leave the rest. You don't have to keep everything. Mm. So really think about what fits in with my house, what fits in with my style, or what I'm willing to keep up with, and then let the rest of it go. And it's okay to let it go. I can guarantee you they're probably looking down going, why are you keeping that strainer? I know it looks cool, but it's just going to clog up your house.
Yeah.
They'd be way more pragmatic than you are being about it right now.
Right. Right. Especially when a good picture would do just the same.
There you go. If you need to take an artful black and white picture of your antique strainer, do that and then let it go. I just can't imagine someone like going through my kitchen utensils being like, oh, this was grandma's garlic press.
Yeah.
I need to keep it. I'd be like, honey, if you don't need it, get rid of that garlic press.
Right.
A knife works just as well.
Yes. Yes. Well, I didn't write any tips.
Okay.
So do you want to keep sharing?
Yeah.
And then if I think of something,
absolutely.
I will interject.
Ask yourself, why am I holding on to this? Are you holding on to it because you want the thing in your life, or Are you holding on to it because you want to hold that person close? And if it's the person, is there any other way that you can continue to honor them and their creative legacy other than holding on to this thing?
Right.
Again, so taking a picture, maybe writing about it. Sometimes just having a little blurb somewhere about the item so that other people can remember later on is enough.
Uh-huh.
So give yourself a little leeway to do that. All right. And then consider yourself. What do you want? So like think about yourself as, put yourself into their shoes and think about what would you want others to cherish and let go of that's of yours? And then you can kind of use that to figure out what
to look backwards.
To look backwards. And
I
think
see what
about
you're saying.
What, yeah. So, yeah. So if you really wouldn't care if someone was cherishing your strainer, maybe you should let go of the strainer or sifter or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So just decide about that. There's very little that I think I would want people to cherish about the things that I've made. Maybe that will change later on. But for now, I'm like, yeah, just take what you want and like get rid of the rest. And that's kind of a hard, it was hard for me to come to that decision because of the amount of time and effort that I put into the things that I make.
I think that a tip I would have goes back to the idea of the process. And so maybe think of ways you can connect to that person through learning to do what they did, if that is of interest to you.
Sometimes it's just nice to go and learn that, just to do it once and say, oh, that's what they did. I don't like that,
yeah,
but I'm glad that I did it so I could experience what they experienced.
I maybe have talked about this before, at least alluded to it, but I love to quilt and make quilts, but I don't love quilts.
Mm-hmm.
I like the process. I like picking the fabrics and putting them together and making something, and it's bright and colorful. And I have quilts at home that I use because you need a blanket, you know. But quilts have never been part of my style. Whereas some people, they want, you know, a traditional wedding wing quilt on their bed, or the Lone Star quilt they love so much, or whatever. I've never enjoyed quilts for quilts. However, after learning how to quilt, it has let me have a lot of appreciation for the work that goes into them. And so I can enjoy the creative output and effort of strangers.
Yes.
When I see their quilts, you know, because it gives us something in common. And so I think with people who aren't here anymore, we're still trying to hang on to them, right? Mm-hmm. So like you're trying to keep having that shared experience or the thing in common. And so sometimes that is an actual thing, and that it makes sense why you want the strainer.
Yes.
But also that might not be the best, like you've been saying, and there could be other ways to feel that person's presence, or, you know, and it could be coming and taking a quilting class at Make Do, or it could be learning how to cross stitch or whatever. So then when you give yourself a hobby and you're sitting watching TV and you're cross stitching, and oh, it reminds you of Gigi.
There you go.
So
it makes me think about, I had a thought. Oh wait, here it comes back again. Like, let's say Molly comes to visit you and you do the number countdown with her.
Oh, yeah.
That's an excellent way to relive that sort of creative memory.
Yeah.
So maybe check out your memories, too. What is it about the memory that made it so sweet? It probably wasn't the thing.
Right.
It was probably the person and the action that they were doing. So maybe instead of holding on to, I'm going to keep coming back to this, the strainer, maybe think about what they were using to make with that strainer and maybe make that recipe.
Do you have a strainer? Is this a personal?
No, I just think about
a
people
personal
that,
example.
I just think about some of those like interesting, like patinaed kitchen utensils that people sometimes hang on their wall as decor. Uh-huh. Or there's a trend where you can cross stitch on strainers.
Oh yeah, I've seen people doing that.
Which I think is really cool. But I don't have the time, and nor do I want to do that.
Right.
But you know, there's people that do those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the end of my tips. I hope that has given you some freedom, maybe to let go of things or to think about, you know, different ways that you can continue to honor the creative legacy of people in your life.
Or if you've never thought about creativity as legacy, mm-hmm. then maybe think what that could look like with your grandparent generations before you. Like, were they creative? Did they leave? Well, they were. We know everyone is. But is there something that sticks out to you about their life and how they were creative?
It definitely hits me real special today because I like did my hair in pin curls and I'm feeling very 50s today. And wearing my hair and outfit this way usually gets me a lot more comments or people wanting to tell me stories. And that's what I really love about a creative legacy is the stories that go along with it, the memories, the human aspect of legacy is just so interesting to me.
Well, one more thing about like grandparents, especially great grandparents, you know, we only know them for such a small part of their life.
Yes.
And so understanding one aspect, whether it's, oh, she loved to crochet, or, oh, here's this picture of her. We have a picture of my grandma like laying on top of a car or like leaning on the hood of a car.
Oh, like,
you know, like, yeah, casually. Like, but I never knew her like that.
Yeah.
So, it does kind of open up. It connects you to the whole life of someone instead of just like the piece of them that you remember.
Yeah.
Like it's funny thinking that Molly will know me as like her aunt, but not really like her mom's sister. I mean, you mm-hmm. make those connections.
Sure.
But she's not going to think of you as like her grandma. Yeah. But Mooley's my mom. I don't know.
Well, and she's going to think of you in context of being an adult. It will be difficult to consider you as a kid.
Yeah.
Which that's a hard thing to do with your parents too, to think about. Sorry, I'm getting on a tangent. I heard about this book. I can't remember the title, but basically this girl goes back in time and like meets her mom as a kid at the same age that she's at.
Okay.
And it kind of gives a humanizing perspective on generations. But yeah, that can be really hard to do, to imagine that the adults in your life were once children.
Yeah. I mean, now I always am thinking, because I remember my parents when they were my age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was 10.
You were around.
Yeah. And so now I'm just always thinking, oh my gosh, I was 10. Uh-huh. I have memories of my parents being my age. Yeah. And that's weird. That's kind of weird.
That is. Yeah. I haven't reached that point yet, but it's coming soon.
Yeah.
Some years. Mm-hmm. I'll let y'all leave that up to y'all's imagination.
Okay. What's your sweet this week? I already shared mine.
You did. Your dad being here. Tonight, I am going to go watch a Marvel movie, and I am so ready. I have seen a Marvel movie in theaters, I think two already, but this one is going to have like a lot of different characters in it, like Avengers, and I'm just ready to have that experience again. Again, because my dad would take me to Marvel movies when I was younger, like starting in like 6th, 7th, 8th grade. We saw the first one together in theaters, and so I'm just continuing on that train.
So is he going to go see it tonight?
I don't think so, but Avengers Endgame, which was kind of the last really big Marvel movie, I think we saw it on the same night. And I cried, not just because it was like a moving movie and I love them, but also thinking about my dad watching it at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, even though we're apart, we're experiencing together the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tear up just thinking about it. I was wearing this shirt too. Anyways, yeah, so that's my Marvel movie experience. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Happy Mother's Day to Madison's dad. Well, the new Top Gun is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the month, and my dad will be back for a planned trip. This was an unplanned trip.
Yes.
But he's coming back on his motorcycle, and it's also his birthday, but he'll be here the opening night.
Wait, when is his birthday?
May 26th.
Oh, my dad's birthday is May 20th.
Oh, hey.
That's a May birthday.
Yes. And so we'll probably try to go see that. But I'll have to get tickets. I assumed get tickets early.
Yeah.
I don't know if Top Gun sequel is going to sell out, but
I don't know.
It feels like the kind of movie that would sell out here.
I heard it was really good because they had, like, they got some really cool aerial shots and they had the cameras actually in the real plane.
Tom Cruise does his own, he flies the jet himself.
Wow.
I know. He's too old for this. Also.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I loved the first Top Gun. Have you seen Top Gun?
I have not. Okay. But I have met the man who Top Gun is based on.
Oh, interesting.
He gave me a half dollar and told me his story. I know.
How cool. What a creative legacy. My grandpa loved Top Gun and had it on at least three different formats because he had VHS, he had beta. Oh, and I'm sure he ended up with it on like DVD or something, but we weren't allowed to watch it.
Oh yeah, I've heard things about the volleyball
scene. Everywhere. Oh, that's not even the.
Oh no! See, like I don't know.
There's a sex scene in it.
Ew!
The volleyball is just boys playing volleyball without their shirts on.
Oh, okay.
My grandpa probably would not have thought that that would be of interest to me. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, but his computer was like. His hard drive was named Top Gun. Oh. He just had, like, Top Gun was kind of a nickname people had for him. I don't know.
Whoa.
Anyway, there was a, he loved it.
Well, let me tell you, there's a Top Gun Marvel reference. So my favorite superhero, Captain Marvel, she's a pilot, and her cat is named Goose. And I was like, oh, I see what y'all did there. I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's well, cool. So you're sweet as you're going to see the movie.
Yes.
What's your sour?
I just feel like I don't have enough time to get done everything I need to be getting
done.
You
feel discombobulated?
I sure do. I mean, I'm looking at the other studio and I'm like, I got to go take care of that. There's some prep work that I need to get done. I just don't feel like there's enough time in the day.
But we are at the beginning of a fairly light month.
Yes. I don't have any classes planned. So this will be a good opportunity. Well, other than like, you know, itty bitty book club and stuff like that. So I'm just going to like take some time, get all prepped for summer so that I can just go forth.
Yes.
And do it well.
Yeah. So we're going to build some IKEA furniture.
Yes, that's right.
I'm going to give Pip a flea bath.
See, we're getting things done.
Yeah.
But it just feels like I just wish I had more time.
Yes, I understand.
So. Yep. Oh, also, this week is my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Well, not this week as of recording.
No.
This week as of listening.
As of listening.
Madison's birthday is on Wednesday.
Yep. Wednesday's child full of woe. Have you not heard that, like, little
nursery rhyme thing? What's Monday?
I can't remember.
Oh, you just know Wednesday?
Yeah. Both my sister and I were born on Wednesday. I'm like, we're woeful children.
Oh.
Were you born on a Monday?
I don't know.
Oh,
I didn't know. I'm going to just see if I can look it up really quick. I didn't know. What did you say?
Wednesday's child full of woe. I'm pretty sure that's why Wednesday Addams is named Wednesday from the Addams family. She's like kind of a goth child. I did not turn out that way, obviously.
Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is full of woe.
Yep.
Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child works hard for his living. And the child that is born on the Sabbath day is bonny and blithe and good and gay.
There you go.
Let me see if I can figure out what day of the week I was born.
Let me tell you, Wednesday and Thursday, we just don't get... We don't get a good prediction there.
No.
Everyone else gets, you know, grace, beauty.
I was born on a Thursday.
Oh, no.
So I...
What is it? You've got far
I
to go?
I have far to go.
Oh, man.
What day would I want to be? I guess Saturday.
Oh,
working hard for the money.
Oh, yeah.
For my living.
I don't know. Sabbath sounds great. You get to be pretty and all of that. That's what Bonnie means, right? Is you're pretty.
What's Blythe?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to look it up. Hey, y'all. Here's some facts. Learning.
For your Monday, you know, whenever
Blythe,
you listen to this.
Showing a casual and cheerful indifference. considered to be callous or improper.
Oh.
So it's not great.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I don't want to feel things.
Yeah. It's an old English poem that was used to make people believe that a child that is born on a Wednesday will have a life full of bad luck and trouble.
Well.
So. Anyway, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, that's my birthday.
Well then, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Madison. Happy birthday to you. May your day be full of joy and not full of the woe. And may you have some Sonic brought by your friend Joe.
Man, that first part was so fast. I'm like, what does that sound like on 2x speed? Y'all let us know.
Oh, what was so fast? Happy birthday?
The happy birthday. You sang it really fast. I bet it sounds even faster 2x speed. It'll sound like this.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And that will be
unrecognizable as the birthday song? Yes.
I was thinking untenable, but that's not the right word.
We've just got lots of words that are coming out of our mouths today.
Okay, well, I hope that no one has metaphorical fleas in their life this week.
Yeah.
If you do,
take a nice bath.
Yeah. Get some special shampoo.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.